Welcome to 167 Hours Beyond Sunday, a companion podcast to the sermons of Crossroads Christian Church in Gray, Tennessee, where we try to go beyond the message and talk about what life looks like in the 167 hours we're not in church a week. I'm your host, my name's Ryan Evans, and today I'm joined by our women's and music minister, Timpa Bader. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
Doing pretty good, you know, just every night is every day is a little bit different depending on how a baby sleeps these days.
Well, that's true. I barely remember those days, but I do remember those days. And one piece of advice, it seems like it will last when you're in the middle of it. It feels like it'll last forever.
Yeah.
It's just a blip on the radar, believe me.
Fortunately, Megan and I are a good tag team. So, every night, if one of us gets to a breaking point, we just say, all right, tag, you're in. I've got to go in the other room for a second. And then she smiles at you, and it's all worth it.
Yes, of course.
But it's been good.
I can't wait to meet her.
I know. That someone was saying the other day, it's like, she's going to be a toddler by the time everyone sees her at the church because, you know. But, yeah, she's almost 3 months old now.
That's hard to believe, actually.
It's weird.
Time has been a really weird thing. You mentioned it just a little bit ago. I have a hard time deciding how long ago something was because I have not a whole lot of things to associate different things with. So it's just been weird.
The defining events and milestones that make up our year as church staff, I've been pretty well gone this year.
Well,
so once March kind of kicked in, it's been like a weird limbo.
Well, I said to somebody in that hard lockdown time that I hardly knew what day it was because my weeks had been defined for years by Sundays and Wednesdays.
Yeah.
So it's like, what day is today? I don't know.
Then the first Sunday I was back, I was like, oh, I can't just wear my pajamas. I've got to actually get ready. Yeah, it's been weird. And speaking of that, so I didn't get to come watch because we were doing a student event. But last Wednesday you led a kind of a unique performance of our King's Kids, which is our kids choir here at Crossroads, if you're not a member here. So tell me about that. How did y'all do that? What did that look like?
Well, first of all, it was very refreshing. It was kind of like a little ray of sunshine.
Okay.
To have not seen some of them in person since March.
Yeah.
And there were about 15 who came, which I thought was amazing. when I think about it in terms of, that's amazing. 15 kids came, even though we used to have about 45. But
right now in this season, it's like,
you just take, but these 15 have been very faithful. And so what was it like? It was very, I think they enjoyed it. I enjoyed hearing them sing live. I think it was a nice little creative experience for them too. Some of the things were, Tyler will be putting together some of the things we did. We did just stand there and sing, but we also filmed a few little extra things that he will insert.
So you filmed it and I'm guessing recorded it audio wise. Did you do it and you all did it outside?
Yeah, we did it outside on the steps between the two buildings.
Oh, that makes so much sense. There's tons of space out there. You can almost use them like choir risers.
Well,
you can...
exactly. We had enough steps that they could be decently apart from each other. And
that'll be nice. I'm looking forward to getting to experience that. I don't know. Do you have any idea of when we'll should be showing?
Yeah, it's due to be shown the day we turn in the shoeboxes. It'll be played while the shoeboxes are being brought to the front.
Okay, and that's November, early 15th. November 15th. Yeah. Great. That's fantastic. I'm sure lots of us will be excited. So I'm assuming, since you said this is the first time you've done it in person, that the rest of the time you've been kind of leading this online.
On Zoom. Yeah.
That has had to have been challenging. What has that looked like?
Any kind of music. I taught piano virtually from April through May, and so any music thing is very challenging because there's always a delay, in the sound.
Mm-hmm.
So when we sing together, I've got my little quotes going. A lot of the kids had muted themselves because they're embarrassed to sing. They feel like they're singing by themselves. So I never really heard them, even though I was singing and playing the CD. But I was hearing bits and pieces and all at different times,
Yeah, it was probably never a true choir sound.
Correct. And so I was just trusting that they knew the song well enough that when we got together that it would sound good. And it sounded good when we got together.
Yeah.
We went through it a few times. They kind of got those chords warmed up and vocal cords warmed up. And And so they did a good job.
Well, I'm sure. And I'm sure parents out there like appreciate, like, I know I've heard from a lot of parents, like anything we can do to give their kids normal or something to interact with, yeah. especially that's good. It seems to be pretty well appreciated. So it was
good to see kids. Some of the kids had been together, even, you know, because I know a couple of girls had their families had vacationed together. Mm-hmm. But some had not seen others in a long, long time. And it was sweet to see them see each other for the first time.
Yeah. It's really heartwarming, especially when you're someone who kind of like, I get a lot of life out of when the students come together. So to not have that, and then, you know, our first like in-person back together thing, it's like, oh, we still have a youth ministry. Oh, thank goodness you are still around. And there's a lot of joy in that for sure. So this last Sunday, we concluded the 167 series, which kind of birthed this podcast. By the way, this podcast is going to keep going at least through the end of December. It might continue after the next year. It kind of just depends on the way things fall. But just for you listeners who have been here consistently, we are continuing. But the last topic of the series of the 167 series was the concept of Sabbath. Now, like, if I'm being honest, like right from the get-go, I'm like, oof, I think I stink at Sabbath. So I'm curious, you know, Temple, what's your relationship to Sabbath? Is it a natural discipline? Is it a struggle? Or is it kind of somewhere in between? Or?
It's a struggle. And that's actually when we had an opportunity to choose which topic.
Uh-huh.
There were other options that I could have chosen. And I deliberately chose this because I do struggle with it. And so I was hoping I would learn something just by pondering it, thinking about it.
Yeah.
Over these past few weeks. So,
for you, what gets in the way? What causes it to be a struggle for you?
Busyness. I know that's not an original answer, but busyness and maybe my own feeling of self-importance, like things won't happen if I don't do them. And so I've got to do this, I've got to do that. And things pile, I mean, not so much lately, but things pile on top of each other. And I feel like I just can't take the time to rest.
Yeah.
And
seems to be a very common struggle for people who work in ministry too, because sometimes a lot of your, you know, Sundays or, you know, depending on if your perspective is Sabbath is Saturday or Sunday, or if you're kind of more flexible and just take it where you can get it. It seems like there's kind of always something to do. There's always another event coming up. There's always church on Sunday morning. Right. For you, Sundays can't be a Sabbath on a typical, in a typical time,
and
right?
That's why I appreciated hearing again and hearing from other sources that Sabbath is not necessarily a specific time in the week, or although for some people it could be. Mm-hmm. Think you have to be really disciplined to say, I'm going to make this day my Sabbath. You're going to either be disappointed in yourself because something will come up. So I understand the reasoning behind the commandment in the Old Testament, but also I've come to appreciate the way the spin Jesus put on it as well, that it's not that we were not, I may be getting ahead of myself, but we were.
Yeah.
The Sabbath was made for us, for our benefit.
Not the other way around, yeah.
Right. Yeah. For us to just be marching along to these rules. And
yeah.
So on.
Well, so listeners, this is a top secret, but I always send my questions to
I'm not looking at the questions. I'm thinking, when is this coming up? I don't remember.
So Larry shared some out of Exodus Sunday and particular bits about Pharaoh, you know, talking about the Israelite slaves in Egypt and while they were working. He was reading from the Message, and the Message actually uses the word lazy. You know, Pharaoh calls them lazy for wanting time off to worship God. So I'm curious, like, do you think that that mentality still exists today?
I think definitely it exists. And I think in my own life, I feel that way. If I've had a few days or weeks in a row that I'm really worn out one way or the other, whether it's physically or mentally, whatever.
Yeah.
And I think about taking a day and doing nothing, even though it might be restorative, I feel lazy. I feel like I have wasted a day that I could be doing something. I have a hard time with that, actually, that to just let things go and and just spend it doing other things.
Why, so where do you think that comes from? Like, where, like, what has taught us to think that way? Do you have any idea?
I have thought about that. I thought, obviously, it's cultural in a lot of ways. You see people filling up every hour of their day with, you know, scheduling whatever. And I also, I've kind of got some strong feelings about adults doing this to their children.
That they
schedule every hour of the day, afraid they'll be bored, afraid they'll be
have imagination or do something,
right? Or afraid they'll misbehave. I don't know what. Yeah. But because I teach piano lessons, I realize that the students not only are taking piano lessons, they're playing multiple sports. They're going to dance. They're going to, you know. And I have very strong feelings about children having lots of margins to be imaginative, to do nothing but play in the dirt, maybe.
Yeah, to catch, you know, to catch up or to think or, yeah, whatever.
So I think, you know, we've been taught that on maybe since we were children, depending on how old you are. Thankfully, I didn't grow up that way. My memories of childhood are long, lazy days riding my bike and playing with my friends, you know. So somewhere along the line, though, I got taught one way or the other that, you know, to be busy is to be worthwhile and to be useful. And it,
yeah, that's something that I've observed a lot more recently, where it's like my temptation, I would say, well, American culture, but really this has obviously been around for a long time. Cause you know, we're talking about it happening in Egypt, but there's almost, valuing busyness over even effectiveness, I think, happens sometimes. I remember, you know, when I first started working like full time, I would get stuff done and then pretend to keep doing stuff.
So you didn't want to be criticized or
whatever. Because I was afraid someone would be upset. You know, even though what I had done was ultimately good, I had efficiently done something well, I felt guilty about it and like pretended, you know, which, you know, it's so interesting to think about like why, and I think part of our challenge as people is to have to move away from that. That busyness isn't the ultimate goal.
I don't know how it is exactly with men, but I know in with women, I've been in conversation, just casual conversation with women, and the main topic is how busy I've been, and I've done this, and I've done that, and I've done this. And then the next person kind of
gives this attitude.
Well, yeah. Let me tell you, that's nothing. Let me tell you about my day. it's almost a competition of who is busier. And
And if you were the person that says, "Well, I took a day off," you know, it's like, "Oh,
or I watched Netflix all day," but whatever. But you know, there is people my age and down. I've just this competition of who is busier, even between husbands and wives. I don't know if that it's not a healthy thing, but you know,
and there's
I'm too tired to do the dishes. I was more busy than you, or whatever.
And I think there is generational differences in this too. Like I see a lot of people around my age and some younger that, you know, there's healthy response to like, okay, I see that that's not good, so I want to find balance. But I do think some people overcorrect and are kind of more on the lazy side of things. But maybe that's just, you know, me being Pharaoh. I'm not sure.
I don't know. There's a little bit of a movement of take care of me first, the whole self-care thing. I've gotten to, I don't really like to hear those words, self-care, because it's almost like a euphemism for I'm number one and I'm going to do
And
whatever.
There's like a balance, and that's so much of our Christian life is trying to pursue balance. So like it is okay to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
If it ultimately helps you be more effective at caring
for others. Obviously God doesn't want us sick and tired of being sick or sick of being tired. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't want us that way. But I think there's also, Larry talked about this too, about a lot of times we make margin so we can be there for others.
Yeah, he talked about one of the ways that we can Sabbath is actually serving others, which seems a bit counterintuitive. And I think, you know, Jesus was criticized for that by Pharisees at times for healing on the Sabbath and doing that. And again,
hopefully it's not a rabbit trail, but
nah, it's fine.
The times I've had more a real mental Mm-hmm. Spiritual Sabbath has been on mission trips where you're working your fingers yeah. to the bone, and you're so exhausted physically at the end of the day, but it's a good mm-hmm. exhaustion, and you sleep well because your mind's not busy.
Yeah.
So,
well, and I wonder too, like, this is the first time I've ever thought about this, and I'm going to do it out loud.
Okay.
So hopefully it doesn't sound so, too stupid. But you know, a lot of people's work now is very mental and not very physical.
Right.
So I wonder if, you know, when originally Sabbath was probably a lot more valuable for people taking physical breaks.
Right.
And practicing mentally.
Honestly, I talked with the choir about this last night. We always have devotions. And so we foregoed. I don't know what the word
whatever,
is. But
we
stopped our regular, what we've been working on. And I just wanted to hear what they had to say. And one person pointed out that for 6 days, they had been physically laboring, and they just needed that. Their bodies needed the break.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think it's mental. I think the reason for us, it's mental breaks. That's the reason a lot of times we can't sleep well at night. We're not physically tired, but our brains are on overload. And so,
doing something like going in on a mission trip where you're not solving the world's problems or thinking, you know, you're just
thinking about your schedule.
You're getting to just work. And your body's fine, but your brain gets a break, which is maybe what this, yeah.
Right.
And that goes back to, you know, like you said, and like Jesus said, you know, the Sabbath was meant for man, not man for the Sabbath. So I do think we do have to be flexible in the way we think about things, which can be a little tricky because I like specific guidelines. This is exactly how you accomplish the task, but that is very rarely what the Christian life is about.
I kind of like rules too in a way because they're easier to follow, even though they might not be easy to follow, but at least you got it out there and you know what the goal is. But okay, that's neither here nor there, I guess.
That's fine. I took us further down the rabbit trail, I think. So kind of get back to my questions here. I think we started at, do you think that mentality still exists today about the Sabbath?
There you are.
Which is fine. I would always rather have interesting conversation than stick to my questions. So one of the things that I thought Larry said that I really thought was interesting is that for some people, work almost becomes their God. Like it becomes people's priority. Why do you think that is? Like what is the temptation there? Why does work becomes people's number one priority?
I think it could be a lot of things. I think it could be sometimes they feel like it's a necessity to make more money, or it's what they do is who they are. Could be that. It could be, I think it depends on the person, but I think it, for whatever reason, if it becomes the number one thing, I know we always excuse people from church duties, if you will. I've got to work. And so sometimes we put work above everything else, whether even our being a difference maker at church or
our relationship with God
or even our families.
Yeah.
Not being able to go to our little league games or whatever it might be because I've got to work. Well, and sometimes that's true. You got to follow a schedule that your boss puts out there for you. But sometimes it's you have to. But I think sometimes people, maybe it's just an attitude about how you feel about your job versus how you feel about other things as much as the time you spend.
I'm so tempted to rabbit trail again.
Okay. I'll follow you right down there.
You know, I was trying to think of like, just cultural shifts and things like that. You know, over time when we've moved away from, you know, farming or taking care of our homestead or doing a certain, task or, you know, carpentry, or very labor intensive. And we've kind of moved towards like office spaces and working per hour and I wonder if that has kind of shifted the mentality quite a bit too. Like I have to dedicate this specific amount of hours because I know that there are listeners out there who are listening to me right now who work a 9-to-5 and you know, just as well as I do that if you needed to, you could probably, if your boss said, I will let you go at lunch, if you complete all of your tasks for the day by lunchtime, you could probably do it.
Same thing. If you're in school, you find out if you're a homeschooler, you can do all that work in a lot shorter amount of time. But that's another rabbit trail.
It just goes right back to that, like valuing busyness over effectiveness, which it's I'm going to keep us focused. I'm like, every time we have conversations, I love conversations like this. And we've been trying to keep the podcast to around 30 minutes. And I'm always like, oh, I feel like I could talk about that for another hour. but Larry shared a passage from Mark 2:27. You know, actually, I'm not sure if he actually shared this on Sunday. This was in his sermon notes.
He did.
Okay, good. All right.
Because I wrote it down.
Thank goodness. You were listening a little bit better than me. He said, it's from Mark 2:27. Says, then Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people and not people for the requirements of the Sabbath. Now, you know, I've already mentioned this a couple times, but how do you think we sometimes get this wrong as Christians?
Well, I think it's probably rule following, like, mm-hmm. The Jews were doing was following rules and taking those rules to the nth degree. And what I wrote down after he said that was that the Sabbath allows for interruptions. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned this before, that Jesus took the opportunity to heal on the Sabbath. Or maybe I said that wrong, but he did not look at opportunity to heal as a
breaking of
the Sabbath, a breaking of the rule. He looked at it as, I have time for this. I can do this.
But we're great. I mean, and I get it, because wisdom is a lot harder than knowledge. And my brain's based at this because I'm preaching in December and I'm preaching on joy and I'm preaching on James 1. And it talks a lot about how testing of our faith produces patient endurance, which brings about wisdom. This happened with the Jewish people then, and it happens now. We kind of read the Bible and we need to understand it, so we almost create these rules in order to, like, uphold certain things. At this time, it was Jewish people saying, okay, we're not allowed to work on the seventh day. That means you can't do this. And they made out very specific, Pharisees made out very specific things, like you couldn't heal or pick grain, right, even though none of that was originally part of the actual command.
I think it was probably supposed to be, you can do this on the Sabbath, and you can do that. You can rest. You can worship. You can have time with your family. You can have a meal together, even though it was prepared the day before. And they got really obsessed with what you couldn't do, as opposed to what it was for and why it was good for you.
Mm-hmm. And that, which stinks, because people are so different too. Like, people need rest in different ways, kind of based on who you are, your personality. Like what we were talking about, what kind of work you do. Mm-hmm. Someone who functions in manual labor will probably benefit a whole lot more from a Sabbath physically than people who work more mentally. Like whenever we put those very strict rules, sometimes I think we actually get in the way of accomplishing the original. It's so tricky. So let's move away from the ethereal base that we're talking about. You know, we're talking a lot about theory and whatnot. And I want to get to some practical. So I'm curious, is there an example of a time in your life that Sabbath really helped restore or refresh you?
Well, as odd as it may seem, I think this season that we have been in mm-hmm. made me realize, after all the things I was supposed to do were wrenched from my tight fist, like the teen choir program and the King's Kids program, all these things that we were supposed to do and that we prepared for. As soon as I finally let go and realized we couldn't do them, then I was able to breathe a little bit more. Yeah. And so actually, in a lot of ways, this season has been restorative. I've told somebody once, I felt kind of schizophrenic about it too, because I would let go but then feel guilty about letting go, or feel anxious about letting go, like what's coming, you know, when can I ever be normal again, all the things that everybody's feeling. Mm-hmm. But still, it has been, I've had more, our family has gotten together every Sunday since that first Sunday in March, whatever it was, the 15th I guess was that day, and I think the shutdown came maybe on the 13th on Friday. And
I have to trust you. I don't remember.
I don't know why I can remember that when I can hardly remember anything else. But I remember my son called me and said, we're already stir crazy. Can we come to your house for lunch tomorrow? And we figured out that they had this and I had that. Uh-huh. And we put it together and we spent the whole afternoon together. And that has become pretty much a pattern now that wasn't able to do before.
And, because you would work most of the day Sunday.
And work has started back, but we're still kind of holding on to the dinner the lunch, whatever mm-hmm. you want to call it, the noontime meal together and spending some time. So we got to spend more time together. And I've gotten communications from people more than normal. And I know it's because a lot of people are making an effort to reach out mm-hmm. to each other and encourage each other. And I've tried to do that for others, and others have done that for me. So it's been in a lot of ways, a restorative time.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a really interesting perspective for a lot. And I think we've all had to mourn loss in this mm-hmm. season, you know, ranging from important things like, you know, hard work programs like teen choir, or for some people, things like graduation, and then everything, you know, stupid from like, you know, the NCAA basketball tournament. Yeah. That was my loss. You know, that was,
I remember kind of turning the corner into 2020 and looking down the road and thinking all the exciting things that were going to happen in our family. Mm-hmm. Both sons got a new degree this year. My granddaughter graduated from high school. It was just all these things down. It was a high school reunion for me.
Yeah.
All these things to look forward to. And then for another, yeah. But those kind of are minor things in a way. You yeah. know what I'm saying? When you, in the view of for eternity, they're just a blip again. But yeah. It was disappointing in a lot of ways.
I think that's good wisdom from you, though. You know, like if you can move past the disappointment to let go, to appreciate what you have in the moment and take advantage of it. Probably one of the, you know, easiest, especially in that original kind of hard shutdown, it was such an opportunity for people to refresh and reset. And but I think we were all too preoccupied with the what ifs and wins mm-hmm. and what's this going to look like. But
well, now for you and some of the others on staff, it was really an intense time. I didn't have yeah. anything to do with that intensity, you know, the video and figuring out how to get the worship services online. And I admit I didn't have anything to do with that. everything I had to do was canceled because it was the women's ministry stuff and, you know, things that we were supposed to have mm-hmm. In person, you know. So I admit that, some of you all had it a lot harder than I did.
Yeah. Well, and listeners, what you're hearing is Tim and I are having a free counseling session with each other about that season, because it was difficult in a lot of ways and I think for everyone it was difficult, and it still is. Like, we're still in it, as crazy as it is, but let's move away. Okay. So this is just a, you know, kind of getting back to that Sabbath thing. So I'm not musical, so I don't know why I added this in here, but I've heard from many people that when learning piano, when you practice too much, you can get stuck on something. And sometimes that the most helpful thing you can do is take a break and come back. So as someone who teaches piano regularly, is that true?
Well, I don't know that you can practice too much, first of all. Okay. But you can get fixated on a small passage mm-hmm. and just it becomes like you see it coming and you think, oh, no, I can't do that. Two measures or whatever, and here it comes, oh no, and I'm going to mess it up. And yeah, it seemed like the more you practice it, the more it doesn't help.
Yeah.
So yeah, I have to admit, I have to say, confess for my students, I've never said to anybody, you've practiced too much.
You know,
lay off a little while. That never happens. But I have seen kids get fixated on a passage that's hard, and they say, I did it 20 times a day. And sometimes you do have to kind of maybe pull back from it a little bit, or take it in really, really, really small sections. Just mm-hmm. take a little tiny bite of it
yeah.
and master that, and then move away from it. That's what I have said that a lot. If you're having trouble with this song, decide where the trouble is, practice on one little piece, and then go walk away
yeah.
and don't worry about it till tomorrow, till the next day. And so it's a matter of maybe taking things, not trying to swallow it all at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, and I don't know why I brought in the musical aspect, because that's so not my brain. But I know for me, sometimes the most healthy thing I can do is step away from something and come back to mm-hmm. it just with a little bit of a refresh, just a little bit of a mental break.
I think that was going to say, I think that that would apply to a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we're kind of hitting the end of this here. I know it probably doesn't feel like it's been about 30 minutes, but it has. So I'm curious, do you have any other wisdom you'd like to kind of share about practicing Sabbath or anything you've heard from someone else?
Some of this came from yesterday's sermon, but it also kind of dovetailed into the things I've been thinking. But one of the things that I think kind of occurred to me is the whole idea about it being a rhythm of your life. Your rhythm may not be like somebody else's rhythm, but incorporating times of pulling back, times, you know, even if it's 15 minutes during the day mm-hmm. of pulling back. And that's what's healthy, is making it part of your rhythm, not rules to follow. Even though, like I said earlier, I'm kind of a rule follower and I kind of like that in some ways.
Yeah.
But,
I think people can create routines specific to themselves too, right. If you know yourself pretty well.
The other thing that occurred to me, that this thing about Sabbath or rest, saying that it gives us margin so that we can be there for other people, but it also gives us margin to pray, to study the Bible, read the Bible. And those are all the things that we talked about in all the weeks prior to this. So basically, Sabbath is what allows us to do some of those other things, the praying, the Bible reading, the volunteering, you know, serving, that kind of thing.
If you value busyness over your ability to serve and love people, you have a problem. If you value busyness over having healthy relationships with your family, you probably have a problem. You know, if you value busyness over having a good relationship with God, if you value busyness over being a whole healthy human, then maybe Sabbath is something that you need to work on. I know it's something at times I need to work on. I know it's based on what you said, it's something that you have to work on, but I think all of us can try and grow and pursue Sabbath in whatever ways we need it to be in our lives. The one thing that wouldn't be due is to keep on trudging forward despite the fact that you need a break. But thank you, Timpa, for this amazing conversation today, and thank you all for joining us this week. If you're on iTunes and don't mind, please give us a 5-star rating and maybe a review. And if you want to keep up with all of Crossroads activities and find more content, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on YouTube. Find us by searching Crossroads Christian. There's all kinds of content for adults, kids, and teenagers. You can also visit our website, crossroadsgray.org. And more than all of that, please make the most of the rest of your 167 hours. Have a great week.